You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 4. We're going to start there and see where we wind up. As I often say, jump off that diving board and pray there's water in a pool. Proverbs 4. I've just got this. Sometimes I get something stirring in me, and I know that if I need it, you probably need it. Now, don't think that when I teach on, you know, living holy and not sinning, that I'm actually sinning. I don't want you to equate that to. But many times something is stirring in me that I need. I figure if I need it, you need it. We're not all that different. Are you with me? You know, I think if C.S. Lewis said this, he said he didn't know what's in everybody else's mailbox. But he knew that when he opened up his mailboxes, there were envelopes in there. And he said he didn't know what's in everybody else's envelopes, but he knows when he opens up his envelopes, there's bills and letters and correspondence and so on and so forth. So it's kind of like that. We're not much different. Maybe your face looks different than mine and your head is different than mine. Maybe larger, maybe smaller. I don't always know everything going on in your head, but I know what's going on in my head. And it's probably not a lot different than what's going on in your head. Are you with me? If you will live your life that way, knowing that people are not that much different. You hurt, they hurt. You can be encouraged, they can be encouraged. You need help, they need help. Are you with me? So just be conscious of others in that respect. When I preach, I think often about what people need. And I think in terms of what I need. If I'm going through something and the Word's ministering to me, I know it's going to minister to you. You know the best way to witness, we've heard a lot about witnessing today, just talk about what the Lord's done for you. Hallelujah. Did he save you? Did you accept him? You got a testimony. You've got something to share. Whatever happened to you, praise God, it can happen to somebody else. If he helped you, if Jesus helped you, he can help somebody else. Just share your own testimony. It's not complicated. You don't have to know all the theological terms. You don't have to understand all, you know, hermeneutics and homiletics. Or kenosis or traduceism. Don't have to know that. You don't have to know the difference between soteriology and eschatology. You just don't have to. You just need to know the Lord. Amen? Just share Him and what He's done for you. Hallelujah. That was tongues. Yeah, I needed interpretation. I was supposed to do that with that interpretation. Turn with me to Proverbs 4. Y'all found it? This is just rich in instruction. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's a book where rubber meets the road. It's very practical. If you want to live your life in a godly manner, in a holy manner, you ought to read Proverbs. James quotes Proverbs quite a bit in the New Testament. And it's just simple truth about living right and living holy and doing wise things instead of dumb things. And boy, I need that kind of instruction. How about you? Amen. Notice how he starts out here. I'm going to try to get through this whole proverb today. I know that would be a miracle for me because when I start, you know, my exegesis is... The way I interpret Scripture and preach Scripture, it takes a long time. Sometimes I can spend a whole service on one verse. But I'm determined. If we had stayed till midnight tonight, I'll get through with this, okay? No. I'll let you out of decent air. This fourth Proverbs talks about instruction from a father to his son. And God is our father, amen?
Yes.
I hope you had a good father. I hope you have, maybe you still have a father. Maybe you still lie. But if you didn't, you have a father in heaven that loves you and cares about you and wants to instruct you, wants to make you a better person. And the good news is you can be a better person. No, you have not arrived. I want to get that straight right now. Are you with me? You're not as good as you can be. You're not as great a parent as you can be, a great a father as you can be, a great a mother you can be, or a wife or a husband or a child. You're not as good a Christian as you can be. You're not as good a witness as you can be. You can improve. Every one of us can improve. Now, God loves us, and He's patient with us, and He takes us where we are. But God forbid, 5 years from now, we'd still be where we are. Yeah. You know, kids are cute when they're trying to eat, and they got the spoon, and they take mashed potatoes in one hand and put it in the spoon and hold it up, and then grab another hand and put it in their mouth. They're cute when they're little kids and do that, but when they're 16, that's not acceptable. Hello. The little cute things they do when they're little, we hope they grow. We're patient. We love them. We're excited they actually got the mashed potatoes and put them on the spoon, no matter how they got it on there. At least they're getting the concept, you know. But we want them to grow from that stage to actually getting the spoon in their mouth.
Amen.
With the food on it, yeah.
Amen.
Instead of on the hair and the head, all that. So what we have here is instructions so that we can grow. Everybody say, I can grow.
You can
get better. I can get better. We can all get better. Here's what it says, Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. Everybody say, give attention.
Give attention.
That'd be like giving attendance. In the military, you say, you know, attention. Everybody stands up. They focus. They look straight forward. Their attention and their focus is on something in particular. You know, I tell you where we've missed it is we've lost our focus. In this life, we've lost our focus. We're not focused on the Word of God. We're focused on our feelings. We're focused on what the world wants. We're focused on what's cool. That word's not even in vogue anymore. You know, it used to be groovy, then it's hip, then it's cool, then it's rad. I don't know what it is now. What is it now? Don't know what it is? Okay. It's actually, we've turned the whole language around. What's good is bad. Oh, that's bad. That's wicked. Wicked is great. Okay, yeah. So we focused on everything but the right thing, which is God's Word, which is the instruction that God has given us. You know, a lot of times we want God to help us. We just don't want a lot of instruction. We want God to get us out of a mess, but we don't want Him to use us to do it. We don't want Him to tell us what to do. But God usually delivers us through us. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Thank you, Tommy. I'll just preach to you. Yeah. Yeah. He tells us something to do to get us out of the mess that we're in. See, we talk about favor, God's blessing, the promises of God. Normally when you look at the promises of God and you look at favor in people's lives, they have done some things that God told them to do that line them up for favor, meeting the conditions of a promise. And that's why he's saying we ought to give attention to no understanding.
Yeah.
Hey, God's moving all around us, but I'd really like to know how so I could get an encore. How about you? I know God does miracles. I know He miraculously sets people free. I understand that. But, you know, I'd like to have that working in my life on a consistent basis. There are things that I can do to line up. I believe God's throwing that football every time. Well, I'll just use a football analogy. Because I'm waiting for them to get all that settled. I want football to start back up. But how about those Mavs anyway? You know, I believe God is throwing that football right where it should be every time. But we're not where we ought to be to receive it. We're not in position to receive. And you know what? I think God gets a bad rap in a lot of cases because the ball hits the ground and we don't get it. And we blame God for a bad throw, but we weren't where we were supposed to be. We didn't run the pattern. We didn't get there. And so God looks bad, and yet God did exactly what He said He would do. He threw exactly where He said He was going to throw it. He does what He always says He's going to do. God's not complicated in that respect. Oh, He's sovereign. He's God. He's way beyond our intelligence. But He's not complicated in this respect. When God says He'll do something, He's going to do it. God will never change or back up off His Word. He'll always be what He says He is. He'll always do what He says He's going to do. It's not hard to predict God. God is holy. God is love. God is good. Now, we're a little unpredictable. We don't always get up on the same side of the bed every morning. Hello. Sometimes we feel like nuts, sometimes we don't. You know, sometimes we're doing good, sometimes we're not doing good. And when we're good, we're good. And when we're bad, we're very, very bad. But God, He doesn't change. He's the same. See, and that's what instruction does. Instruction gets us straightened out and lined out. You don't have to line God up or straighten Him up. He's already straight. He's already on. In fact, when I pray and believe, I don't turn God on. He's already on. He's always on. I don't have to con Him into or make a deal with Him to save me. He already wants to save me. He already did save me 2,000 years ago. I had to get in position to receive that salvation. And everyone in hell is someone out of position. Think about it. It's someone that didn't get in their path. They didn't get where they're supposed to be. They didn't meet those conditions. So we need instruction. Have a better marriage. Have a better life, better business. Be a better man, better woman, whatever the case may be. And there is no other. It's man or a woman. It's Adam and Eve. Wasn't Adam and Steve. Okay. So He says, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. Boy, what's wrong with the world today? They've forsaken God's law. They've forsaken the simplicity of His Word. Now listen, you know, clothes change and styles change and music change, but morality doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. Right doesn't change. Wrong doesn't change. Thank you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God's still right. It's still right to love people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, hairstyles change, long, short, colors change. You know, black, green, red, I don't know. You know,
amen.
Jewelry changes, all kinds of things change. Those are just styles, but fads and so on. But morality doesn't change. It's still in vogue and it's still popular. It's still good to love people. It still work for you to be kind to people. It'll still work to repent when you sin. It'll still work for you to dedicate your life to God and serve God. It really will. No matter what kind of clothes you wear or what kind of hair you got or whether you don't have any hair.
Amen.
Amen, Dick. That's, yes. I'm trying to include everybody. You see what I'm trying to go across the gamut here. So he says, "For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender in the and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live.'" Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
You know, God's not looking for people who'll die for him. He's looking for people who'll live for him.
That's right.
And if you'll keep God's commandments, you will live.
Yeah.
Did you know it pays to serve God? This is deep teaching, I know. Great concept. But we've forgotten this. We think it pays not to serve God sometimes. We think we're better off not doing what God says. But the Bible's plain that it pays to serve God.
That's right.
Woo! To not exalt yourself. To not try to get even. Get back at everybody. You know, I mentioned in the class today, I don't want on my tombstone, "There lies a man who never took anything off anybody and always got even." I don't want that epitaph. Are you with me? That may sound manly. It may sound macho. You know, it may have been the way you were raised or I was raised. But I'd rather it say something like, you know, "Here lies a man that loved the Lord. Here lies a man that served God, that was a witness, that was an example, that was a good father and a good mother if it's a woman." don't put that on my tomb, okay? That was, you know, good pastor, love people, and so on and so forth. Don't you want that said at your funeral? Hey, don't live your life in such a way that preacher's got to lie about you at your funeral. Are you out there?
Yes.
So it takes some instruction. Live this, and it pays. This pays dividends in this sense that God will reward you. Your family will be better. They'll love you more. They'll actually hang around.
Amen.
I don't know what Brent and I did, but we can't get rid of our kids. That's good. Amen. Grandchildren all over the place, you know. It's Grand Central Station. You know, I had a guy over one time. He was Jerry Savelle's international director for Australia. Ian Slack was his name. Ian and Diane. And Ian stayed with us a couple of days. They had a meeting over in Fort Worth, and we went over there, and he stayed with us a couple of days. He was a big Cowboys fan. We took him to the old Cowboys stadium. He thought he'd died and gone to heaven, you know. But he was a Brit that he lived 20 years in South Africa that migrated to Australia. He was really confused. But anyway, he was at our house, and boy, I mean, kids were just going back and forth one Sunday afternoon. We were having Sunday like we normally do, Sunday lunch. And it's interesting, to say the least. You know, we put all the kids in one room. We had to get the adults in another room. And it can be 25, 28, 27. It's 27 in-laws and outlaws and everybody there. But he was there, and his kids were running, and I said, "Well, what do you think, Ian?" And he says, "What do you say? Mass chaos." And that British, you know. No, he said controlled chaos. He couldn't believe that everything got done. And the walls were still standing when the day was over. Nothing was broken. Are you with me? And we all had a good time. Hallelujah. So there's noise. Praise God. We can't get rid of our family. Don't want to. We love it. I love noise. Amen. I love the kids having a big time. Thank God for these two children's churches we've got going right now and the youth. And, you know, that's our future. You think about that. And, you know, what a responsibility for us to teach them and instruct them in the ways of the Lord. They're not going to hear it in school. They're not going to see it on the TV. They're not going to pick it up down the road, down the street. Listen, this is the last vestige of hope for morality this world has, is the church of God. Thank God for church. This is where you'll find out God is your hope and your help and your answer. You'll find out that you can make it. that God's for you, not against you,
yes.
That you can live holy,
yes.
That you don't have to live in sin.
Yes.
You're not born that way, and you don't have to live that way, and you're not addicted. You can overcome addictions, hallelujah. You can get out of drugs and jails,
yes.
And anger and all those things that the world says just the way it is. Well, that's not the way it is. God loves you, and He's for you, and He wants to make a man out of you, make a woman out of you, and real men and real women love Jesus.
Right.
And they pray, and they pray over their children, and they live for God.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And it works.
Amen. Good.
Hallelujah. Thank God for church. I love church. I just love church. I need church. I need instruction. How about you? We're just getting marching orders here. Listen, we're in a war room right now getting our strategy, our war plans on how to fight the battle that's going on out there. There's a war going on for your soul and for your families and for your marriages. There's a war going on. The devil wants to take everyone to hell, and he wants to split every marriage up, and he wants to separate every family. He does, but he's a losing or liar. And in Jesus, you can overcome that. You don't have to be a statistic. You don't have to go down that road. You can change. You can make a difference. You can change your life and your destiny. If you'll take these words and this instruction, I'll tell you what, God will bless you. If you'll take these words to heart. But you've got to commit yourself to them. It's not just a Sunday deal, you know. It's something that you commit to. I'm going to pray over my job. I'm going to pray over this situation. I'm going to repent of this sin. I'm not just going to accept it. I'm going to take God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's what the scripture says. It's not cool to be angry all the time. It's not cool to cut down everybody that you see. That's not cool. Not hip. It's not wicked. It's not bad. Whatever those words are. Amen. The world is looking for somebody that will serve God. And you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You really can. So he said, but we got to get some instruction. I mean, how do I do this? What do I need to do? You know, because if you don't know what to do, you'll stop in the middle of the intersection. Well, I just didn't know what to do. No instruction. Don't stop in the middle of the intersection. Come on. Even if you're on the right road, you're going to get run over if you just sit there. Let's just keep moving. Amen. And God will keep you moving. Amen.
Yep.
This first section is first 9 verses, which I'm just rolling through. You can see how I'm flying through this proverb. First 9 verses says, He also taught me and said to me, fourth verse, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom and get understanding. Hallelujah. Somebody.
Yes.
You know, I love the presence of God. Here we had, you know, tongue interpretation. I love the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, they're for today. They hadn't passed away. I love supernatural healing. I love all these miraculous things that take place. They're wonderful. But see, those things just come and go. What's going to get you through life is wisdom.
Yes.
Those are like icing on a cake. God does those things, and we pray for them. We believe for them. We thank God for them. But we don't. Our life's not run that way. Our life is run by the daily decisions that we make to serve God, the changes in our character. Sometimes we're more about charisma than we are character, but God's more about character than He is charisma. Now, those are appealing. I love them. I mean, they have a pull. They're like bait. I mean, the Bible talks about many times where that happened, miracles happened, and towns would get saved because it does pull people in. And it may draw people. But, you know, when the dust settles and you leave here,
that's right.
How much of God's Word do you know? How much of it are you standing on? Are you working in your life? Are you applying in your life to your marriage and to your business and so on?
Yes.
That's what's going to put you over.
Yes.
So we don't just need inspiration. We need information. It's getting quiet in here, isn't it? You want me to do some cartwheels or something? Get your attention? Or hallelujah. This is better teaching y'all are amen. Character. Character counts. Do you know that?
Yes.
I could ruin this whole deal. Just one slip of character, I could ruin this whole deal. Ruin all the 29 years I've been pastoring. Just a slip of character. You'd lose faith and confidence in me. A lot of people just lose faith in the gospel because of it.
That's right.
Character counts. It means something. We're looking for people with integrity and with character. We ought to be those people. And we can be.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's the good news. Is you don't have to live the way you've been living.
Right.
You can turn it around.
Praise God.
Woo! Oh, man. Y'all please settle down. I know you're excited. I know you want to swing from the chandelier. That's why I didn't put them in here, because I know y'all be jumping up, swinging from them.
Praise God.
Well, I love you and God loves you. That's why God says all these things, because He cares about you. He cares too much about you not to give you some instruction. He wants you to get out of the middle of the road. Come on, you're going to get run over like that. He wants you to get out of the ditch. Amen?
Amen.
It says here, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Why does He say that? You know, that's all through the Scripture. You didn't hear, I've been pastoring 29 years. I've been serving God a lot longer than that and been preaching a lot longer than that. Been around the world, you know, preaching 6 weeks one time in India, 3 weeks another time in India. Been to South Africa and preaching to Bible school and killed a kudu with a bow. 48-inch kudu, incidentally. But anyway, I preached in Guatemala. Been in the jungles of Guatemala. Spent 8 days in the Bataan jungle. Went up down the river. There was no cars, no roads. We went in a bush plane. I preached in Guatemala and baptized 5 in the Rio de la Pasión, the Passion River. El Salvador, been to El Salvador and preached in Wales, in a Bible school in Wales. I'm going to miss some. Australia, been there several times in Australia. Been around the world, around the world. Think about it, all those things. Which, you know, I mean, people have done more than that. But, you know, if I forget His Word... If I forget His Word, God doesn't bless me. He doesn't answer my prayers because I've ministered and pastored for 29 years and preached the gospel in different nations around the world. He doesn't bless me because of that. He doesn't answer my prayer because of that. He answers my prayer because I remember His Word. Because I remember His Word. And my children are serving God, you know, because I've lived for God here, not there. Not because I shine my light around the world, because I shined it right here. I shine it right here where I live. My greatest mission field is my family. My greatest influence is my family. Amen. And if I don't live for God here, I'm going to live for Him somewhere else. The light that shines further, as Brother Osteen used to always say, is the light that shines brightest at home. Amen. We need instruction. We tend to forget, see, the simple things. And that's why He reminds us over and over and over to not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. I need to come to church. I need to read my Bible. I need to be reminded of this because the world will pull me in the wrong direction. Yeah. And there's a war going on for my soul and your soul and the soul of your family and the soul of this nation. Yes, woo, that's a sobering thing. Yes, but the good news is, hallelujah, we win. Amen. 6th verse says, do not forsake her, wisdom. Everybody say wisdom.
Wisdom.
All right, it's personified as a woman. I'm going to talk to God about that when I get to heaven. I don't know why He did that. You know, the more y'all respond, start laughing, the quicker this message is going to go. Did you know that? We can make this last all day, people. Okay. You think waterboard torture is bad? Listen. Okay.
Wow. Amen.
I don't know where those things come from. They just... Do not forsake her wisdom and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Mm-hmm. Wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. You might say it that way. Knowledge is just the accumulation of information. Wisdom would be the application of information. I know a lot of people have a lot of knowledge. And truth be known, you know more than you need to know to make it in life. You're just not doing it. I mean, I know a lot more than I'm acting on. I know a lot more than I'm using in my life. Many times we know what to do because we know the Word. We're just not doing it. Yeah. Are you with me? It is the doing of the Word that blesses us. It's not the hearing of it. It's the doing of it. It's the committing to it. It's actually living it in the home, living it with your wife and your husband,
yes,
living it with your children, living it on the job. It is acting on the Word on a daily basis. Not in here. It's easy in here. Oh, come on. I can say hallelujah and y'all all jump and shout.
That's right.
You do that on the middle of your job, in the middle of the day, stand up on the table and say hallelujah, they'll call security.
Right.
But here it's okay because we're all Christians. We're believers. We love the Lord. And rightly so. This is a safe haven.
Amen.
It's a refuge. You ought to have a refuge. You ought to have a haven. Somewhere you can come and hallelujah, lift your hands and shout and praise God and clap and give God glory. Talk about what He's done during the week. Fellowship, rub shoulders with Christians and grow. And iron sharpens iron. The countenance of a friend sharpens the countenance of a friend. I'll tell you, I'm a better man when this service is over from being here today. Just being with you and worshiping with you and hearing these testimonies and hearing you, amen, tell me how good I'm doing.
Amen.
Are you with me? No, we need that. That's good. But we do know also that when we leave this place, it's not that environment's a little different out there.
Yeah.
Everybody's not so excited that you love the Lord. Everybody's not so, you know, just flipping out and jumping up and shouting and hollering because you got saved or because you're going to turn your life over to Him or serve Him. But nonetheless, that's where you need to shine.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Not hatefully, not uppity. Don't be a hottie-totty. You know, just get up there and serve the Lord and be a witness and love people.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. Seventh verse. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Man, I want to know what to do with a word, not just quote it. How do I use it? I don't want to just know where it is and be able to tag that verse and have read that. And, yo, I read this and I read this. And read. I want to know how to apply it in my life, how to use it in my life. See, the end of all knowledge is action. That should be the end. We should come in here thinking, how am I going to do this? I'm going to get something to do. I'm going to get something to apply in my life. And in so doing, it's going to bless me and it's going to bless those around me. It's going to make me a better person, more useful for God to use in the kingdom of God. You've got to make a commitment that this is going to be to you. This word is going to be your word. Your life is going to be according to this word. That's what Mary said. Remember Mary? She said, be it unto me according to your word. I mean, the angel Gabriel came down and announced how she would be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and that thing which would be born of her would be of God and be of the Holy Ghost. They'd call his name Emmanuel. And she said, be it unto me according to your word. I think I was just reading this last night in Joshua. Remember Rahab the harlot lived in Jericho? They went up to Jericho. Two spies came in and spied out the land. The Bible says all the people's heart melted when they heard of the Israelites. And they had no strength left in them. The fear of God had come upon them. And they knew they were doomed. And this harlot, Rahab, hid these two spies because they'd heard there were two spies in the city. And she hid them. And then she began to tell them, she says, now, you need to spare me in my house because I've done this kindness to you. And the spy says, fine, no problem. When you let us down the roof, you let a scarlet thread off that window and you get your parents, your mother and your father and your brothers and your sisters in this house. And when we come take this city, we'll spare you and everyone in your house. And we'll be free of this oath. But the blood will be upon your hands. If you do not bring in your parents and you don't bring in your brothers and your sisters and they are killed, then we are free of this oath. You think about that. He gave her some instruction.
Yeah.
You know what she said? She says, according to your words, it will be for me.
Amen. Praise God.
She committed to those words. Now, what if she hadn't brought her mother in and her mother had gotten killed? Whose fault would that have been? Those men? No. That would have been her fault.
Right.
See, many times we're blaming God for things that we did not do. We didn't follow the instruction.
Right.
Now it's getting quiet. God gives us instruction. If we'll follow those instructions, there's a blessing on the other side of our obedience.
Amen.
But our blessing is waiting on the other side of our obedience.
Amen.
How many diet books work? The ones you work.
That's right.
Think about it. I mean, diet books, there's lots of good diets, and you can lose weight on just about any of them. But not until you commit to it.
Right.
How many financial books work? Budgeting, finances, and all those things work. The ones you work. Until you say, be it unto me according to your word. Till you commit to those words. Till you sell your life, as it were, to the teaching. And say, I'm going to do this. And you hear testimony after testimony after testimony of people who read this book or did this diet or this financial seminar or whatever the case may be. But, you know, the author didn't lie. But there's a lot of people that are still heavy. Hadn't lost any weight. Is it his fault? No, they didn't do what he said in the book. What about the financial guru, you know, that gives you all the information on budgeting and, you know, on savings and all these things? Just common sense stuff, incidentally, it's in the Bible. Proverbs talks a lot about that. There's a lot of people have financial problems. Is it his fault? Did he lie? No, they hadn't even read his book. Some of them read it, didn't even do it. Couldn't blame him. Okay. So God's given us instruction so we can do it. Amen? And we can't blame Him when things go wrong. Now, I know some things go wrong and you're doing everything right. Don't take that to the nth degree. We live in a fallen, broken world, but by and large, you can tip the scales in your favor. Obviously, if you obey these words, you can have the promises and the blessings that God promises. But there's going to be things you need to do. It's not magic. Listen, this is not magic. We're not turning pumpkins into coaches and white mice into coachmen. No, those are fairy tales, okay? Now, there are healings and miracles and signs and wonders, but they're real practical things. You know, even bread was made from bread, and fish was multiplied out of fish. Are you with me? You don't see fairy tale type miracles in the Bible. But God blesses diligence, and He blesses obedience. Think of the blessing chapter, Deuteronomy 28. Y'all remember that, Deuteronomy 28 chapter? First 14 verses talk about the blessings of God. Notice how it starts out. It says, first of all, we're not going to finish Proverbs. I want you to know that, Proverbs 4. A sigh of relief just went across like a wave. Okay. Deuteronomy 28 chapter, first verse says, if... If. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, and you do that which is right in His sight, and you obey these commandments which I command you this day, all these blessings will come on you and they will overtake you.
Amen.
He said, I'll set you on high above all nations of the earth. He said, you'll be blessed coming in, going out, in the storehouse, in the field, fruit of your body, fruit of your kind, of flocks, your sheep. He said, I'll bless the fruit of your ground. I'll cause the rain to come down your land in its season. He says, you'll lend to many nations and you shall not borrow. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. See, there's instruction. So really, those 14 verses are a little bit meaningless if you don't know what He's telling you to do. Well, I just know God's going to take care of me. Well, I believe He will, but He's going to give us instruction on things to do. Man, it's quiet out here. Hallelujah. Man, that is good preaching. Man, I need that. I'm so glad you said that. That's just changing my life. Hallelujah. Woo! Woo! Oh, preacher, that's... Oh, I love it. Oh, come on, don't hang up now. Don't hang up now. Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. Woo! I feel it. I'm feeling it. Oh. Oh, I can work it up if I wanted to, but you know it wouldn't be right to do that. All right. Let me finish out this ninth verse and we'll go home. How about that? That sound good? I got an amen on that. I finally said something y'all agree with. You know, I said there's about three sections here. If you look at this first nine verses, it starts with the first verse, hear. That's the Hebrew word shema, which means to hear and obey. That's really what the word means. You know, it's been said, and I've said it lately, about 20 different primitive languages, the word hear and the word obey are the same word. It's only in modern times that we've separated those words. But to hear was to obey. That was the whole point of hearing, so you could go do something. But somehow we had the idea, now we listen to stuff, and then we go do other things. You know? But originally, that's not what it meant. So he says, hear, my children. Notice the 10th verse says, hear, my son. Same word, shema. That's the next section. And then the 20th verse says, my son, give attendance to my words. So there's three sections there that I'm just going to finish the first section today. But it says here in the 7th verse, let me read through the 9th verse. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, wisdom, and she will promote you. She, wisdom, will bring you honor when you embrace her. When you embrace instruction, when you embrace commandments, when you embrace things to do in your life, to change in your life, then she will promote you. If you determine to make yourself a better person, you're not responsible for everybody else. You're responsible for you. You can't change everybody else, but you can change you.
That's right.
You can't fix everybody else, but you can fix you.
With
the Word. You can allow God to fix you.
Amen.
It's not about making everybody get right. It's about you getting right.
Amen.
It's not about everybody should have been here that you're going to go get this CD and send to. You needed this message.
Good.
I needed this message. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so he says this, exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. In other words, you do all this stuff, you'll be looking good. You spend all that time in the mirror getting all fixed up and looking pretty, and hey, I'm all about that. You ladies, you just keep looking in them mirrors. Y'all look good. But we don't spend a lot of time doing these things. And these things really make us look good. You look a whole lot better when you love people. You look a whole lot better when you live holy. You look a whole lot better when you stand for something instead of falling for everything. You look a whole lot better when you're a good daddy and you're a good mama. You look a whole lot better when you've got character and you stand up for Jesus and you pray and you seek God and you talk about Him and you give Him glory and give Him honor. You look good. I tell you, that's the best dressed person you could be, is someone dressed and clothed with the glory of God, dressed and clothed with the commandments, dressed and clothed with instruction, wisdom. See, that's the principal thing. Promote her, she'll promote you. Amen.